Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bert Show.
Well, now it's complicated because her married boss... Does it really matter if he's married? Just makes him, I guess, more of a D-bag. Makes a pass at her, and she denies him. And now she's wondering, I bet every day I walk in there, this guy could turn the tables on me and fire me. Now what to do? Which is the question she's asking you guys. Kristen has the email.
Hi, Bert Show. I'm writing today because I have a dilemma at work. I love my job. I mean, I never thought I would ever have a job that I can't wait to go to every day.
Clearly, nobody here wrote this email.
I love what I do, and I adore the people I work with. I do work in a field saturated by men, but I have found in my adult life, men are way easier to work with than women. I work for a very small company in town. There are 2 owners and 5 employees. I'm the office manager. Yesterday morning, my bosses called me in the office and gave me a $10,000 raise in my salary for my outstanding performance. Awesome, right? Yesterday evening, I was alone at the office, which is not unusual. One of my bosses and a friend of his had just finished golfing. They stopped by the office right before 4 p.m. for more drinks before they went home. I had one small drink with them because they cracked open an $800 bottle of whiskey. Ooh. And I've never tried expensive whiskey before. It was awful, by the way. But they proceeded to drink half the bottle. I left, told them to lock up, and before I made it 5 minutes up the road, I started getting text messages. Long story short, my boss tried to convince me to meet up with him and hook up. I spent the evening crying. I felt betrayed and embarrassed. I feel like my days here are numbered. I completely ignored his advances, and I'm scared that if his ego is bruised, there will be consequences. I know I need to start looking for a new job, and I want to tell the other owner what happened so that he understands why I left. I feel like yesterday morning when they told me how valuable I was to the company and complimenting me, it was all a lie. I can't help but feel like there were ulterior motives, and now I question myself. I feel like women are up against so much in the workforce. I've succeeded at previous jobs, and people would snicker and say, "She must be sleeping with the boss." Now I work with predominantly men, and I have been well-respected for the last 3 years here, and my self-esteem was so high. I had so much confidence, but I feel he stole that security from me. I've lost all confidence and questioned all the raises and accolades. He used his position of authority to try to sleep with me, and I don't know how to proceed in the next coming weeks. Do I chalk this up to a drunken mistake on his part and try to forgive? My gut says he crossed a boundary, and for me to ever feel comfortable, I have to look for a new job. Mm. Any advice would help. Thank you so much.
So my knee-jerk reaction here is you go to HR, right? But that's nowhere even in here. So if you are in HR and this is what you are paid to do, 1-855-BIRCHO. What a sucky situation to be in.
Yeah, it's so, I can't even fathom being put in this position because especially if you're so excited to go to work and it feels like everything's great, sometimes you always feel like the other shoe's about to drop and here it is, that shoe is dropping. There is a part of me that says you need to go to HR, but it also, I also have a part of me that thinks this is just a drunken mistake. Like, it'd be one thing if he made a physical pass at you. Like, he's made you uncomfortable and he sent you a drunk text, which I feel like we have all done at one point or another. He probably got out of his drunkenness the next day and completely regretted it. So I think you should clock this information, tell somebody about it just in case something does happen down the road. But I think he probably wants to forget it, and I know you want to forget it.
Going to HR to get ahead of it seems to make sense, and I'd like to think that she should be able to find some comfort in the fact that it's text messages and she has it in writing, but I just don't know if that's going to go her way. You just never really know. So I hate that she feels like she has to find a new job for something she didn't do and she loves this job. If it's me, I probably would look for work just in case and not really focus on him or bring it up, but just have the comfort in knowing that I have it in writing in case I ever need it in the future.
What a crappy situation to be in, man. Because here she is. She loves this job, and I think she might be right here. I wonder if they gave her this $10,000 bonus just to keep her quiet and keep her happy.
Well, but they did that before he hit on her, though.
Did they?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was more of like, are they buttering me up for the text later?
It's so hard to find a job that you really love going to every day. When you look at the statistics of people in this country, I mean, it's more than half of people wake up in the morning, their first thought is, dang it, now I got to go to this crappy job. She's got this great job. She's done nothing to change the situation except her boss. I'm going to HR and I'm trying to keep that thing, but I've never been in an office with that kind of tension.
I mean, the thing that broke my heart was that she was like, I had so much confidence, but I feel he stole that security from me. So if I was in your position, or like, you know, you're my best friend and I'm trying to give you advice, what he did was wrong. Completely out of pocket, no excuse, etc. If you do love this job and the other people you work with, I think now it's not about the mistake he made, but it's how he rectifies the mistake and how he tries to fix that mistake. I think you're owed an apology. I don't know if you're going to get that, because then that's admittance of doing something wrong and somebody in the office isn't going to want to do that. I would not make a knee-jerk reaction. I would see how this next week goes. And then after that, if it's unbearable, then part ways with the company.
And they may be too small of a company even to have HR.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think I'm with Kristen on this. It has been my experience with therapy that it only works if you go into that office and you just verbally and emotionally throw up everything. Things come out of your mouth, or you're like, oh, I'm so embarrassed for myself. But you got to be 100% honest. And then when your therapist guides you, the second part of this whole thing is, let them guide you and take their advice. When you take their advice, good things happen. Abby just learned this lesson.
Who would have thought when you go to therapy and apply it to your real life, it makes a difference? How about it? Now, famously, I have been avoiding therapy for probably 5 or 6 months just because it's expensive. And also, I feel like I'm so self-aware that I'm like, I know what my problems are and I know I probably should be talking to somebody about it. But if I could just do it like the budget way and just ruminate on it enough that I guess eventually something will get figured out, I'd rather do that.
I know you'd rather do that. I just saw a video that rumination is a number one sign of depression. So be careful about your rumination.
Well, you know I'm depressed. So
exactly.
The call is coming from inside the studio.
And I think with therapy, you go to therapy because you already know you have a problem. You have an issue, right? So it's not about figuring out the issue or the problem. It's about getting the tools to fix that problem.
And I question even the theory of self-awareness.
You're saying I'm not self-aware?
I'm not saying you. I'm saying the theory in general. Right?
It's starting to sound like you think I'm not self-aware.
No, it's not you. It's not. So self-awareness, as defined, is you looking at yourself and analyzing yourself and being aware of what you know. But you're seeing it through your own lens.
Yeah, but I mean, also, I feel like I'm objective. I feel like that is one of my strongest points, is I'm very objective. I'm not somebody that sees things through the lens frequently of like my own experiences. I feel like I can typically see things from like a 30,000 point viewpoint, which is why I think I've just, again, avoided it, this is a whole other conversation. But I think I'm at a place where talking about
what's going on in my life isn't necessarily the thing that's going to be fixing it, if that makes sense.
But talking about it allows a third party to see it from a different angle and offer insights into ways that you could probably manage it better.
Listen, Kristen, I have a cat to pay for. She just cost me $1,000 because her stomach got a little upset. Mommy can't afford to go to therapy to talk about her sad feelings when she knows that she's sad. So anyway.
Just another trip to Dublin. That's all you need.
Honestly, that's what I need, is another trip to just distract myself from my sad boy feelings. So anyway, back to the original point of my story is I was reflecting on a therapy session I had a while back ago where I really got some advice that I was reluctant to take at first. And then when I started using it, I was kind of like, oh, that's actually like very beneficial. Shout out to therapists I've been to in the last year. I know some of them are listeners. You're really helpful. I'm only avoiding you because I'm broke. But she gave me this really great piece of advice that I used in Pilates of all places. So I recently switched from going to like high intensity workout classes and started going to Pilates because it's a little bit more low impact. It's really hard. And I have been suffering. If you follow me on Instagram, you know I have been suffering through my Pilates transition. It is some of the worst pain I've been in my entire life. I don't know.
More so than Orange Theory and lifting heavy weights? This is tougher.
Huh. This is the hardest thing I have ever done. And the worst part about it is I feel like it perfectly encapsulates the female experience where we're all just miserable and in so much pain, but we're all in our cute little outfits and we're all silent. Like, that's the worst part of Pilates, is that nobody, I'm in the corner like mouthing obscenities. I'm like, and everyone else is just there like looking so cute in their little Lululemon outfits, grinning through it.
Is there no music?
There's a little bit of music.
Oh, okay.
But it's like kind of low. Oh. And yeah.
You've got me so intrigued. Is it the, this is going to take us off for a second. Is it just the holding the poses and the burning, or is it the, because it's not a lot of weight, it's bands, right? So what's the painful part of it?
For me, it's like my body does not have the muscle capacity to execute these moves because your body is moving in a way that is just not, not like lifting a weight. You're working new muscles. And so half of the pain is the fact that like they're telling me to put it on the heaviest springs because everyone's been doing this for 2-3 years and my muscle hasn't been woken up since I was in the womb. So you're working these muscles that you're not used to and they're putting it on these really hard resistance that everyone else seems to be able to do. And it's, you can't be quick through it. You have to be slow and you have to pulse and then you have to do the, it's just a lot. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I'm not a Pilates princess. I am a Pilates popper the way I've been doing these moves. It's really sad. And I had to talk myself through some of these moves because I was in so much pain through some of these exercises that I had to remember some advice I had gotten in therapy where I kind of have to picture my mind as a garden. And sometimes you have to water your mind with words. Like, you have to tell yourself things to be able to start believing them. And to me, that has always sounded very woo-woo. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very like gruff family where it was just kind of like
grin and bear it,
get things done. And words of affirmation, I wouldn't say were very, were abundant in this environment. Not to like hate on my childhood by any means, but like talking yourself up was like not the way to go. It was almost like talk yourself down so that you're motivated to do better. And so I'm sitting there in the scrambled egg position, which is as bizarre as it sounds, where you're like on all fours and then you've got your leg out and you've got to swing it back and forth all while you've got the resistance band on.
Like you're peeing on a fire hydrant?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then there's the fire hydrant one that you got to do right after it. And I'm just talking to myself and I'm like, you can do this, Abby. You are strong. You are capable. You are fit. And it was so weird. Like, the more I talked to myself and the less like obscenities I screamed under my breath, like the easier the move became. And I was like, wouldn't you know?
It's crazy what happens when you're kind to yourself.
It's crazy what happens when you don't degrade yourself for the sake of motivation.
So,
that was a ball.
I've read a lot of books and watched a lot of videos about this very thing also. It's like your body doesn't know it's a lie. So when you say something to yourself, your body believes it. So that's why you shouldn't be self-deprecating. And
if you want to have positive results, you have to believe in what you're saying, and that's how your body reacts. It is very woo-woo.
So it's very, very woo-woo, but it worked. I mean, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm like crying in pain from doing the scrambled egg move, and then all of a sudden, it feels a little bit easier. So note to self, say a couple nice words to your mind so that it can flourish and grow.
If you get into the right slash wrong algorithm, there are experiments done with people in the gym, and the scientists will say, when you're doing these lifts, think negatively, like you're having a really hard time and you just want to get out of here. And the weight is so much heavier. And then they ask them to think positive thoughts that I can see my muscles growing. I know this is good for me. And it's so much easier to handle the exact same weight just with that mind tweak.
Yep. So water your mind today, kiddos. It's going to work.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Cassie and her family don't have a house to live in right now, but they do have a backyard to argue with about.
Yeah, we are living in a trailer or an RV in our house, in our driveway right now while we do some construction on the house. And the thing with an RV is it's great, but it's not always built for long-term living. And what I mean by this is if you were to take it to, say, go hiking in the mountains, right? You would have enough space to like pack your hiking gear and your hiking clothes and then like some things to sleep in. But when you're talking about putting your entire wardrobe for a season in the RV or for your kids, there's no room. There's no room for that. I don't have a closet where there's hanging space where like pants or dresses can hang all the way down. It's kind of curtailed. And they've done a really good job at creating this wardrobe space. But as we're moving into the colder seasons, when you have thicker, bulkier clothing, and then add on to top of that, I'm plus size, so my clothes actually do take up more space. I'm running short on space for stuff, and I can fit maybe 5 sweaters in the little closet area I have. So I was at a baby shower that I was throwing with Kristen for a mutual friend of ours, and Kaylee's wife was there, Erin, and she had a brilliant idea. She goes, you know what I would do? I'll get a shed in the backyard and turn that into a closet. And she said that, and I went, you are a genius. Get this woman a Nobel Prize. We have a shed in our backyard. It's falling apart. It's super old. And it has lawn equipment in it. So we've been talking about replacing it anyway. So I need help convincing my husband, Chad, to replace the shed and temporarily let me make it a she shed. So basically a closet with all of my clothes and all of the kids' clothes. His stuff can go in there too. A big mirror, dressing room, lights. So every day, like I have somewhere where I can actually go change, because also there's not a lot of space to actually change in the RV. Like if you're bending over, you're bumping into doors or cabinets or a bed. And so I think it is a brilliant idea. And then when we get back into our house, we can turn it back into like lawn equipment shed, or he can use it as an office space as he picks up more contracts, stuff like that. But it is so, I've tried to pitch him on a couple of other things outdoors and he shut them down immediately for good logical reasons. And so I really want this. I really want this. And I need help figuring out a way to convince him that it's a good idea.
What's his reluctance?
Yeah. Well, so a listener had emailed me and said, hey, you know what we did? We put our washer and dryer outside the house under like a tent or an overhang. We have an overhang. And I was like, genius, because we can't run our washer and dryer in the house right now because of, I don't know, carbon monoxide, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to a laundromat, and I suggested that to him, and he's like, that's a great idea, except we're getting into winter, the pipes are going to freeze, and also, like, we live right by some woods, so mice are going to get up in there. It's not a good idea on our new washer and dryer. And I was like, okay, Dad, it makes sense. So he is very good at finding the real truth and the real reasons why things won't work, whereas I prefer to ignore those and pretend they don't exist and deal with that later if it happens. And so I know he's going to shoot this down somehow with some logic like, hey, we live near a creek. The clothes are going to get wet and moldy because it's not a controlled environment. Whatever, I'll get a dehumidifier. I can come up with arguments, but I would like to present the case in a nice little like, tied up bow so that he doesn't have a way to be like, no.
Right. So that's what she's at. She's asking us to troubleshoot her request. That way when she goes back to Chad, she's got a retort for everything. She's got an answer for everything.
I wouldn't even begin to try to come up with something better than that, what you can, considering our intelligence and educational background.
Yeah, you're going to have the smartest response out of all of us.
I didn't go to school for like engineering or anything like that. I mean, from what I can see is he'll be worried about humidity. We'll get a dehumidifier and an air conditioner. We have a portable air conditioner unit.
Get some mothballs.
Ooh, good idea. See, there we go. Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, make it like, or you can like do some of the inside it in cedar. To help with like the, to help with some of the insects.
Cedar
wood.
Cedar wood.
What y'all talking about?
How about instead of trying to sell him on the she shed, how about you say, if you let me put all my clothes here, I'll let you do insert X, Y, and Z. Maybe he wants a new TV. The thing that Kristen's doing with her hands right now, maybe that's what he wants.
Oh, wait.
That doesn't count.
Yeah. You got to work with what you got.
Maybe offer up the back door. I don't know.
That's what I was doing.
All right. No. To a shed?
Maybe he likes the back part of the shed.
All right, so here's glossing over that. The other thing I could do, I could technically do this, but I would never normally do this, and it would cause tension, but I could do it, is I could just order the shed and have it delivered set up.
Don't do that.
But then I could be like, babe, I knew you wanted to get rid of the old one. Here's a new one for the equipment. And then I'll be like, one day I'll just have clothes all over the RV bedroom. And I'll be like, there's just no space. What if I put them in the shed until we get back in the house?
Okay, so I was assuming you were going to try to convert the existing shed into something. You want to bring an entirely different shed in, which to me plays better to you than it does to try to renovate the old shed.
Well, the old shed is really, like, it's got holes in the roof, squirrels get up in there, and it's like almost a log cabin shed, so there are lots of holes in it, so it really wouldn't be suitable anyway. Every time we open up with the lawn equipment, there are spiders and wasps inside, so I want to get one of these, like, new tough-built sheds that basically have room for insulation and are all locked down and stuff.
Were replacing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I literally just did a search on this thing, and the first thing that came up from Wayfair is waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
Boom!
Yeah,
send me the link, please.
Yeah, this is done. There's a whole bunch of them.
All right, Merry Christmas to me.
That are specifically done for this.
So it's such a good idea that they've already created products for it, which means it's been tried and true, tested and proven, and so there's no reason not to.
There's a whole bunch of them. Waterproof outdoor storage shed for clothing.
All right, I think between Aaron, Kaylee's wife, and Bert, I've got this on lock.
We're done.
Yay!
Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to Chad.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Can I ask you for some temporary help in my relationship?
Sure.
That I think you perhaps can only help in this room. Because you know the players involved, and it is temporary. So I told you guys that my girlfriend, Amanda, has been living with me for 4 months until her house is ready. She just bought a house, right? And she'll be moving into it. She's slowly been moving into it, right?
Exciting.
I didn't know this was a thing until I saw it in front of me, and then I realized, Bart has had the same complaint about Kristen all these years, and I can't understand why it's even a thing. She and I living together has been almost perfect, 98% perfect.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she's got a gripe or two about me. Why are there so many half-consumed glasses of water around my house? Why can't this woman see that the cup is half drank and then put it in the damn sink. It seems to me like she is leaving cups so she remembers where she was that day so she can get back to her original spot.
So I'm going to say this without having had a professional diagnosis, but I have been actually, I don't want to say concerned, but I have thought this for quite some time because of things I do, like leaving cabinet doors open. And I do very forgetful things. And I think it's because I got a touch of the ADHD. And so I will take a glass of water and I will drink it. I will set it down with every intention of finishing said glass of water. But then, you know, squirrel! And then I get distracted and then I forget about said glass of water. So then I make myself another glass of water.
Okay.
And then now I'm upstairs and I'm doing, and it's on my nightstand. And then all of a sudden it says, squirrel! And then I get distracted and I go and then I'm like, did I have a water? I don't know. So then I go make another glass of water. And then before you know, I just have a little collection of water all around the house.
Okay, so there's one flaw in your explanation, and I can see this is hitting with Mo also. So I'm going to throw it to you in a second.
You triggered?
Yeah, a little bit.
So, okay, I understand the squirrel thing. I understand the ADD thing. Yeah. I got it also, man, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, but when you go back into your room and you now see that the glass is there and it is half drank, then why at that point do you either not drink it or just bring it to the sink time and time and time again?
Mm-hmm. Oddly, that's one of two things. Oddly, I don't see it. Like, it's crazy. Like, I sincerely, like, I am, like, blind to certain things. I don't see it. Or, two, I'm like, oh, that's where that water is. I'll drink it. And then, squirrel! And then I don't drink it, and it just continues to sit there. I mean, and then before you know it, I'm like, God, how long has that glass of water sat there? Is it even able to be drank? And then you look, and you see like a film of dust over it. You're like, yeah, no, that one's got to go. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, I need to take that downstairs with me the next time I go downstairs, right? And so then I start doing something, and then once again, squirrel! And then I completely forgot to take it downstairs with me and put it in the sink.
Mo, fam.
Same.
She leaves the half-drank bottles of water everywhere. There's four on the nightstand. There's four in her car. It's in the kitchen. I find them in the closet. Why is it a bottle of water in the closet? And the reason I get upset the most is because I have a Brita.
In the closet.
In the closet, right? And I'm like, so if you're not going to finish the water, if you're not confident that you are not going to finish the water, just get a glass and use the water from the Brita. Don't waste my purified bottled waters when you know you're not going to finish them. And then when she finds them, like Kristen said, she doesn't want them anymore because now the water is old.
Yeah.
The water's not old. It's water.
No. It's not expiring.
It's not expiring.
I mean, at some point it's going to, and you are going to get some film across the top. But Mo raises another interesting point. If, because I've seen this too. There's the half glass, right? And then she'll take another half glass and put it next to the half glass.
Yes.
There's two right there.
Now they're together. There's three of them. Like, just finish one.
They need friends.
Y'all are overthinking it. Your women are saving your lives. Have you not seen Signs?
That's exactly what I was waiting to say.
I have not seen Signs. What is that?
The whole point is the little kid keeps leaving half glasses of water everywhere, and the dad's like, what are you doing? And then when the aliens invade, they're allergic to the water, and it kills them. Yep. So you can thank your women because they're saving you from an alien invasion.
Just make sure you have a baseball bat nearby, because Merle in the movie swings away, and he breaks all the water. That's why I saw the alien. End of aliens.
And just one final question before we move on to your Karen friend.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a time where you go around the house and sort of play checkers and like go ahead and grab all of the glasses and put them in the sink?
It depends on where I am in my cycle. If I'm in like that cleaning phase of my cycle and I don't know, it's not the ovulation phase. It's not the follicular phase.
Luteal.
Maybe. But there's a phase where you like have to clean. And that's the only time I do that.
I officially bought a plant just so I could stop feeling like I got to pour out purified water. Just so I can have something to do with the leftover purified water.
Bart does that with my leftover water.
That's a good one, man.
I use cups. We don't have bottled water in our house. We use cups. But every leftover water, Bart uses and he waters the plants with
it. It's maddening. Just maddening.
That's
after
hilarious.
A while. All right, so the email here is that after she turned down the boyfriend's proposal, he just went on and proposed to her best friend. I don't think she's overreacting, but let's hear the email.
Dear Bert Show, you may call me Karis. I live in Africa, and I watch your show on Facebook.
That's so cool.
You guys are awesome, and I appreciate your work. I would like to know if I'm the a-hole in this story. Last year, I rekindled a friendship with my first boyfriend. Let's call him Martin, who at the time was living in another country, 17 hours by air from where I stay. My best friend, let's call her Judy, had gone also to the same country, so I linked them up asking him to help her in March of 2022. Initially, she calls and tells me how and what they did. All of a sudden, the calls and the messages stopped. One day, she updated her WhatsApp status, and I saw that they went on a vision expo and took some very beautiful pictures together. That piqued my curiosity. Of course she didn't tell me, but later in the evening, he did. There was something very peculiar about these pictures. They looked like a happy couple. That night, Martin called to tell me how Judy looks and acts just like me. Truth is, we can easily be mistaken for twins, although she is older than me and we do not share the same parents. The next 2 days after the picture incident, Martin called me to say that Judy visited him at his home and was in the kitchen cooking food for him and his friends. I was quite taken aback, but I said nothing. After 2 days, Judy called to explain what happened, and I asked her if she would be happy if I did the same to her. She went on to say that she wasn't the only one cooking for Martin, that ladies from his church also cook for him. I accused both of them of dating behind my back, but they denied it. Fast forward to 3 months after this incident, Martin came to my base to visit and proposed. I told him that I needed time to get to know him better. Well, he argued that I had known him for 16 years and there was nothing more to know. Needless to say, I didn't accept the offer. 2 months later, Judy called me to tell me that Martin proposed to her and she asked him to first get consent from me before she could accept.
A boy will marry somebody.
He's
determined.
I told her that they are both adults and they can do whatever works for them. Apparently, Martin married someone else this year. However, since then, I no longer see her as a friend. She has made efforts to reconnect, but I either ignore her calls or make excuses like I'm busy. Truth is that she was a really good friend, but I feel like she is likely to do the same. This assumption is based on the fact that when I met her back in 2013, it was apparent that she was dating a married man whose wife was pregnant. To be honest, I sometimes feel like maybe I overreacted given that the man in question is already married. I would really love to hear from you on your thoughts, on your opinions and thoughts. Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to trust her ever again.
Nah.
You don't need this kind of trauma, man.
No,
I wouldn't be able to trust her either. I don't think it's fair to base that on what you knew when you were already friends with her after that and got past that. But if you don't trust her based off of the fact that she kind of lied to you or at least withheld information in dating the guy you used to date, I can completely understand that.
And I'm a firm believer that I don't think you should punish a woman for something a man does or for a man's behavior. Like, it's obviously he was in the wrong for proposing to her and then turning around and then, you know, immediately proposing to her friend. But the fact that you just didn't immediately say hail to the gnaw.
Right.
You called her up and said, hey, your boyfriend just proposed to me. But before I accept, I wanted your blessing. That right there was the end of the friendship. And it is never to be remedied or rectified or whatever word you want to replace there.
There are some things, while sad enough, there are some things that you just can't get around as friends. That kind of distrust, it's over.
Yeah.
And there's no bouncing back. That goes on your permanent record.
For sure. I'll never be able to trust you again. And there's no point in having a friend that you can't trust. Right?
I don't think we're giving Judy enough credit.
Okay.
She didn't get engaged to the guy. She said no at some point. Do I think she's a little stupid? Yes. But but at the very least, she didn't marry him. In this letter, it says that he married somebody else. So, I don't know.
So you're saying, go ahead. It's not that big a deal.
It's a little bit of a big deal, but it's not a big, big deal.
Not a deal-breaking big deal.
Not a deal-breaker.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, 1 minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's F-O-R. HERS.com/BERT. ForHERS.com/BERT. Waitlist by HERS is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit ForHERS.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
We used to call it, what petty hill would you die on? Like, not major, major, major issues, but like small, petty, superficial hills that you believe nobody else does and you are willing to die for your right and your opinion.
And that's what BuzzFeed has done. So, yeah, so this is the list that BuzzFeed has curated from the internet. People are sharing their pettiest hills to die on, and it's already a dumpster fire in the comments, it says. And it says, recently I asked the BuzzFeed community to share a small hill they are willing to die on. The results have convinced me that we are all driven by our own convictions, no matter how insignificant they may seem to one another. So one of them is, I refuse to pump my own gas. I don't care if people call me spoiled or an elitist. I won't subject myself to the smell, the germs on the handles, the possible compromise of the info on my credit card, or the danger of standing outside my car for an extended time. It's worth the extra money for me. Lucky Oregonians, by the law, they only have full service.
And I think New Jersey also.
New Jersey. All of my friends from New Jersey feel like that.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe because I never use it. I didn't even know it was still a thing. Yeah.
Had no idea.
Oh, yeah. In Jersey, I don't think you pump your gas anywhere.
Right.
They always do it for you.
Fascinating. Next, Mo, this one will hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
Nickelback is great. Yes, I said it, great. It's a great band.
Talk about it. They got smashes, whether y'all accept it or not.
Great.
Great.
Or just not as bad as people make them out to be.
I'm not saying they're the best band of all time, but you can give them great. They got some smashes. All right. I'm not doing this with y'all.
Look at this photograph. All right. If you choose to sit outside while eating/drinking, you do not get to complain when some insect ends up in your food or drink. You don't get another for free. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually fair. Texting should only be used for short one sentence, maximum 2 messages of absolute necessity. Real phone conversations happen live, one-to-one, using voices.
I completely agree.
Real phone live conversations?
I
agree. I do not like getting 4 or 5 paragraphs of text messages. You could have just told me this when we talk later.
I'd rather do that all day long. I hate talking on the phone so much now.
I can't believe you think that.
I really do. I hate
being the introvert you are.
Yeah, probably because I don't like reading.
that thing you stand behind and put your notes on when giving a speech is called a lectern, not a podium. A podium is a raised dais. Thank you. Upon which a speaker stands. Mm. Then these two, back to back. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza.
Fact.
Followed by the petty hill I'll die on is arguing over what pineapple on pizza is bleeping stupid. Just eat what you like. Who the hell cares?
Have you tried pineapple with jalapeno?
On pizza?
Uh-huh, together.
No.
Dude, it's a deadly combo, man. You got to at least try it once for me.
Really?
Yeah, it'll change your life.
All right, I'll try it.
A hot dog is a kind of taco, and you will never convince me otherwise.
We've been there.
Aaliyah will always be number one over Beyonce.
A lot of people feel that way.
Really?
A lot of people feel that way. Yeah, especially from millennials, for sure.
Bags of chips and popcorn should not be served during professional developments meetings. We are in a forced proximity where the audience is quiet to listen to the presenter and the snacks are so loud and annoying.
If Tommy were here, he would agree to that for sure.
Dogs belong on furniture and in beds. They spend their lives trying to make us happy. We can at least offer them comfort.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm. They make doggy beds for a reason.
Right.
We have doggy beds, but they're also in the bed. They're also on the couch. I'm letting you know right now. Hey, I do my guest a solid. I have the lint roller that I will give you upon leaving my house. But if you sit on my couch, your ass is going to be covered in dog hair.
How many heartbeats do you have in your house every night, or in your bed every night?
Just Bart and I.
Oh, okay. I thought all the dogs were in there. No.
Willie, the big monster, the 120-pound one, used to sleep in the bed with us, but now he has a nice Tempur-Pedic bed that he likes to sleep on the floor.
Okay.
So all the dogs have their own space.
God bless America.
I know, right?
You look around the world, people are sleeping on the soil.
Everyone is just pretending to like steak. I grew up in a vegetarian home and started eating meat only in my late teens, and I swear I never ate a steak that was even remotely tasty. I tried many times in many different places, even in high-end restaurants, and they all taste like nothing and feel like a rubber sole.
No way. Because you grew up in the vegan house,
yeah,
right?
Just say you don't like steak.
No, but to them, they're like, no, yeah, that's their petty hill they're going to die on. All right, people who correct grammar on the internet are often more annoying than those who make the mistakes.
For sure.
True.
Not often.
I knew that was going to be the one.
Not often. Always.
Untrue. Y'all need to learn the difference between I'm bawling my eyes out and a baseball. You need to learn the difference between an aisle you walk down and an island. And you need to learn how to spell tonight. Drives me insane.
Wait,
thank you.
How do they spell tonight?
It's T-O-N-I-G-H-T is how you spell tonight.
But I like spelling it T-O-N-I-T-E.
That's wrong.
Well, I've never noticed you do that, and I think it's because we're friends. I must have blacked it out, but my mom does it, and oh, my God.
So there's
I wrote a couple down.
Oh, you did?
Because okay. I knew you were going to do this, all right? And this one is recent for me. Red Robin burgers are the top three burger in America.
Stop this.
Red Robin.
Have you had one?
No.
What?
I've never had one in my life.
They're pretty. I am more partial to the fries than I am the burger.
Hollis just introduced me to it, and I'm like, this is a mouth parade.
Really? Red Robin.
Red Robin.
They're,
okay.
They are delicious.
On the subject of burgers, too, Five Guys over In-N-Out all day, every day.
Well, Five Guys is my favorite burger in the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In-N-Out is overrated.
That's where I went yesterday.
Five Guys?
Because, you know, I had that stomach bug or whatever, and I hadn't been able to eat. I'm like, we're going to go back in. We're going to go back in hard. So I went yesterday to Five Guys. I didn't get a little fry. I got me a regular fry. And Jimmy and I polished that puppy off.
As you should have.
Another petty hill. Most people that drive selfishly or erratically have Florida license plates. You ever notice?
I'm not going to disagree.
You will. You'll start. All public bathroom stalls should be Florida ceiling.
Yes.
I like that one.
I like that.
That's a good one.
Movie musicals should have special edits. If you like musicals, you can see them in theater too. The other theater, you cut out the singing and you just have the talking parts of the musical.
Movie like 6 minutes.
I used to edit out parts of songs I didn't like.
Really?
Yeah, and then I listened to my version.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you know what, Britney Spears in Oops, I Did It Again, where she has that stupid talk break about throwing the diamond into the ocean? I hated it, so I took it out.
And there are very few stage DJs that actually really need to be there. I mean, you're doing all the work before you get on there, and a bunch of them are on stage doing nothing anyway for theater, and most of them suck at it.
Nowadays, gotcha. That's true. Very true.
All right, so the email is she's wondering if she is being an a-hole here because a friend needs some help while she's moving to a new city. Her friend could help her out. Now she's wondering, do I really want her in the house or not? Abby's got the email.
Hi, Bird Show. I'm a listener of the podcast from Chicago. I've been listening for years now, and I want to thank you guys for getting me through some tough times. Now, please help me. Here's the problem. My friend lives in Las Vegas, but wants to come home to Chicago and has been telling people she is going to stay with me for a few months until she, quote, gets on her feet. The issue is, I was never asked about this. Does she plan to just show up at my doorstep with her bags and her two kids? Am I supposed to just open my home randomly because I'm not even sure of when she plans to make the move? It could be tomorrow for all I know. She has always been one of those friends that always needs help, but burns bridges as well. Her children's dads have already stated that she cannot, under any circumstances, be allowed to move in with either of them. She's also not on speaking terms with her mother. So when she comes home, she really won't have anywhere to go. I'm a single woman that lives in a two-bedroom apartment with my three cats and the occasional overnight guest. Will I be the a-hole if I tell her she cannot stay with me and that she's going to have to figure it out? I don't want the children to suffer, but I also don't want to change my entire lifestyle for a few months. Any advice from you and your listeners would be amazing. Please help.
All right, so if this was you, and you hear this information from multiple friends that this is what she's telling people. Now that you are privy to this information, do you just sit on it and wait for her to come to you? Or do you go ahead and be like, hey, some of our friends are saying this. Is that your plan? Did you plan on asking me if that was cool?
I think we're talking about two particular different kinds of friends. For instance, if you and I, Kristen, lived in different cities, mm-hmm. right? And you were coming to my city and you needed a place to crash.
With Jimmy.
With Jimmy also, right? A couple of months is a little long. But I think if you assumed that you were going to stay with me and told friends that you were going to stay with me, because we're so close, it wouldn't offend me. I would assume that if you were coming to my city and you needed help, you would come to me. So if you told a couple of friends before you actually got it to me, that sounds very much like Kristen.
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't be offended at all. I would know that you were going to hit me up at some point, and I would just assume you were staying with me. It wouldn't offend me at all.
I'm not going to assume anything. You got to hit me up and you got to ask me something like that. That's a big deal.
Like I'm saying,
it's I don't even like people like popping by my house unannounced.
I don't even want you to drive by.
Don't even look me up on Google Maps.
None of that.
Okay?
No.
None.
I would assume if somebody is, like you said, assuming that they're going to stay with me without asking me, that they're a really close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. But I also assume if you're a really close friend of mine, you would know that I ain't going to go for this.
Right?
So for me, you got to ask your friend. I mean, this would be a no-brainer for me. I would go immediately to my friend and be like, this is what I heard. What's really going on? And what do we need to do to get you out of this situation?
Yeah. And if I had a friend, if this is like a best friend that was in a dire situation with the kids, yeah, you can stay with me for a couple weeks. That's what friends do. A couple weeks, not a couple months.
Right.
Oh, I'm not asking the friend. I'm taking this time to divert, to create some kind of situation that's going to make it easy for me to not have to lie, but also keep them out of my apartment. Because I can tell that you feel like this person is waving their flag of entitlement of like, oh, of course, I'm just going to stay with her. I'm getting the sense that this person's a little difficult, maybe doesn't have a lot of other friends, and maybe you're a people pleaser type of person, and you really want to make, are maybe the only person that can typically handle this kind of person because you're such a people pleaser. So if I were you, I would start making plans for people to come stay with you for weekends and weeks so that when they eventually do have to come to you, because I'm assuming they're not just going to come to your doorstep, you can go, oh, you can't. Sorry, my mom's staying with me for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've got about a handful of people that could just assume they were staying with me without asking me before telling a couple of other friends.
I'm letting you all know right now, don't assume that.
Ever.
You better be asking me.
You better be my parents, and even then.
The Bird Show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.